You're listening to Vatican Radio. Promoting Catholic social teaching in the political arena. That's the challenge facing chaplains working with parliamentarians. And it was the subject of an international conference that concluded in the Vatican on Friday. The meeting, entitled Pastoral Care of Politicians, Spiritual Companionship and Promotion of the Common Good, brought together chaplains and lay experts from different parts of the world engaged in the interface with political decision-making. Organised by the Pontifical Justice and Peace Council, the two-day encounter highlighted the need for close collaboration between clergy and laity, seeking to keep Christian values high on the public agenda. Among the pioneers in this ministry on the African continent is Father Peter John Pearson, who heads the Parliamentary Liaison Officer of the Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference.
I think the pioneer part is because we've been the first church office, Catholic church office, in Africa to engage democratic governments in a liaison. We see it very much as a liaison. It's not only to try and get Catholic points recorded in legislation. We try for that, obviously, but it's also about engaging with policymakers. That's parliamentarians, but research staff, people who make the things happen, bureaucrats behind the scenes, engaging with them on the wisdom that Catholic social teachings has and what it can contribute to that.
How successful do you think you've been? Is it possible to measure success in this field?
It's interesting that you ask, because just 2 weeks ago, we were the only organization that put a whole lot of recommendations to Parliament for a youth subsidy, where business would get, where there'd be tax incentives if they took untrained youth and trained them and all that kind of thing. And our recommendations were taken wholesale in. We know it's not work that we do with other groups that we say is being reflected. This one was. It was about the sixth time we've had that kind of direct influence. But for us, it's not that is the only measure of success. Keeping a democratic space open in Parliament and not letting it slide into some kind of a political autocracy, keeping that space for civil engagement, for public participation open, and keeping it as a prerequisite for a democratic culture, which we obviously help to contribute to, is what we see as important.
How difficult is that today? Of course, under the apartheid regime, the church had such a vital voice in campaigning for democracy and human rights, human dignity.
I think the voice is still there. Generally, the religious voices subsided for a while because they said, now we have people. But as the moral high ground has been lost in a number of areas, corruption, unaccountable actions by people, the voice of the church has been raised again. So it's very much on the radar screen. And we've very much positioned to speak publicly and to get public attention, primarily, I think, because we have a cohesive discourse. It's not seen, and because it's not a single issue thing that we try and lobby around. So when we talk, we seem to be having the kind of social, theological imagination that can sustain a discussion rather than just jumping up and down on a one-off basis. We're seen as being people who talk around issues from housing to healthcare to military interventions in Africa and the life issues. And so people say, we've got to take them seriously. They're not just a single issue, a group. So it was easier then because it was a single focus. It's more diffused now. But I think what we've shown is that we have the energy to sustain a broader long-term engagement.
There's a lot of talk today about the political discourse changing, shifting away from a rational argument around these issues you're talking about to a very emotional, if you like, gut reaction to politics. Mm. How much of a challenge is this to you?
It is huge. It is huge. Not only because parliamentarians fall into the same trap, but the people in whose name we speak, so to speak, also have that reaction. You're not talking on this issue. You're pussyfooting around this, or, you know, don't take an intellectual approach. This is stuff that should be decided on the barricades, so, you know, go there. And I think it's precisely... And so we're under that kind of pressure, hugely. I think also many people have a kind of bite-sized capacity for looking at difficult things. Others just disengage because they say, you know, that's for experts. What we try and say is the issues before Parliament can be spoken of in such a way that people can take them on board and participate. So it's encouraging that voice as well that helps to deconstruct this kind of emotional, sometimes erratic response to things. And we think we're helping in a broader education to debunk that kind of response.
This kind of work does require a certain expertise among church people who are doing this kind of work. You can't come into it purely from a church perspective, but you have to have a clear understanding of the complex political, economic issues at stake. How much do you think is the church training young people to do this kind of work?
Look, I think it's an area of weakness. I think one of the things we've learned is that you have to call in expertise. You have to say to Catholic military experts, explain the logic to this, explain the expenditure in sending, you know, six warships to a place to monitor. We have to say to Catholic or Christian or believing economists, speak to us about the different schools that are competing for attention in this legislation. We have to speak to housing experts. And that is good for us, too, because I think as church we often think we have all the answers. Almost by some divine intuition, we know everything. And this talks even amongst ourselves of the need to engage, to debate, to dialogue, and to learn. I think one must always remember one stands fairly humbly before the data that faces one. So it's been a huge learning experience. But it's been a wonderful experience to bring people in. We have a certain amount of expertise in the office in which I work. We're a big office, and we bring in people who have expertise, but it certainly doesn't cover all the bases. One of the ways we enhance that is that around issues being debated in Parliament, we hold parallel roundtables where we bring in experts, where we bring in parliamentarians, researchers, people who are working on the coalface, and we say, here are three clauses. Talk amongst yourselves. So we provide a space where voices that wouldn't otherwise feature in the more elite circles do have a space to feature, and those have become hugely important in the democratic life of our country.
So perhaps from South Africa you're bringing a few lessons that you can share with your colleagues doing similar work here in Europe.
I certainly hope so, and I think there are similarities with the way we do it and the way Germany does it, for instance. But we've also evolved over time and have tried to bring in practices that are different. We would have less, it's not absent at all, but we'd have less of an emphasis on personal pastoral accompaniment as we would at the bishop's request in making good the democratic deficit that existed and insisting on good democratic praxis going forward. So we very much perhaps more interested in content, but the accompaniment is there as well.
My thanks there to Father Peter John Pearson, Director of the Parliamentary Liaison Office of the Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference.